Joel 3:14 reads, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." This morning, for a few minutes, I want us to look at the valleys of life. Before we get into that lesson, again, I want to welcome everyone that's here. There are many that are not. We need to be praying for them and seeing how we can help them. Keep praying for each other, for this congregation, and for the needs of everyone here. When we talk about valleys, different things come to mind. This is a picture of the Shenandoah Valley. When Carol and I were coming back from Virginia, when I preached there a couple years ago, it's a beautiful valley. It's bounded by the Appalachian Mountains and the Blue Ridge Mountains. When we think of valleys, a lot of them, we don't think of something as this beautiful. This was a very beautiful valley, but we use that as an illustration. What is a valley? It's a low place between two mountains. And our life is going to consist of mountains and valleys. We're either going to be on top of a mountain or we're going to be down in a valley. You can look at different people in throughout the Bible. Their life was a mixture of valleys and mountains. You think about Joseph and the low times in his life, and Joseph and the high times. You think about Moses when he was the top person next to Pharaoh in Egypt for his first 40 years. He was on top of the mountain. Then what happened? He was in a valley of life for 40 years in the wilderness, tending to sheep. We are all going to go through these mountains and valleys. We need to remind ourselves that when we are going through a valley of life, never to make it our home. It's just something that we want to pass through. And sometimes when we are up on top of a mountain, looking down like at this valley, it's very beautiful. But if we are stuck down in the valley and trying to get out, sometimes it may be impossible. It may seem impossible. Sometimes what we think are valleys may turn out to be mountains. It's all a matter of perspective. We might think about what's going on in the world right now and think that we're in a valley of life. What if we were hit with nuclear missiles, our power grid was taken out, parts of our country were destroyed, we lost all of our money, we lost our food? We would look back and say, remember how nice we had it in February of 2021? A mountain and a valley partly is a matter of perspective. So let's consider a few valleys that we are all going to face. One of them is the valley of decision. And what is decision? When we decide, we make a distinction. We discriminate. And I use that word in a good sense. We discern. We judge between two items. If I were to go to the grocery store to buy some grapes, one of the things I always do is take the container, turn it upside down, and see if there's any rotten ones on the bottom. I'm going to make a decision. I want to discern. Let's start back in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 and beginning at verse 14. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Friends, we need to make the decision to serve the Lord. Again, there are many decisions in life that are going to matter to varying degrees. We have to decide, where are we going to live? Where are we going to work? Those are important decisions. But friends, one of the more important decisions, we have got to decide that we are going to serve the Lord. We have got to decide that we are going to put the kingdom first. We are going to put the kingdom above everything else. Some of us need to decide, are we going to be in the church or are we going to be out of the church? Some people go back and forth, in and out, in and out. Friends, we have to make a decision. And somebody might be thinking, well, you know, I'm in the church. I'm not against Jesus, but what are we doing for Jesus? Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." We must make the decision to be with Christ. In Mark chapter 10, sometimes we can try to be doing right and not make the right decision. In Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Do you know the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me.'" Verse 22 says, "But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Was this man a nice person? He was nice. It says that Jesus, in verse 21, "Then Jesus, looking at him, he loved this man." This man wanted to do what was right. But what stopped him? What stopped him was making the decision that he was not going to let his possessions come between him and Christ. We have to make decisions every day. How are we going to serve God? That has to be one of our top decisions, that we must decide to please him. And friends, if we don't make that decision, we are going to be in a valley in our life, the whole life. We are going to be on the bottom. We have no hope of climbing up to the top. But that is one of the valleys that we are all going to go through. Are we going to be on the Lord's side or are we not? Another valley that is so common to everyone is the valley of depression. If we turn to Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18 and verse 14, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" You know, when you're feeling good and things go wrong, you can keep going through things. But if your spirit doesn't feel good, if you have a broken spirit, the least little things can weigh you down. Is this something that is common or uncommon? It's common to so many people, and we will probably all face this valley at some time in our life. We turn to 1 Kings 19. In verse 4, I start at 1. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.'" And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Elijah, after he had been on a mountaintop, and then Jezebel wants to come after him and kill him, as the prophets of Baal had been killed. And what does Elijah want to do? He runs. He runs away with his servant. And he leaves his servant, and then he goes a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sits under a tree, and what does he pray? "God, just let me die. Just let me die. I'm no better than my father's house." We drop on down in chapter 19 to verse 14. And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." What would we say Elijah was doing? He was having a pity party. Was it real? It was very real to him. He wanted to die. He says, "Lord, look at everything that I've been doing. I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. You know what I've done. You know what they've done. Lord, I'm the only one that's left that wants to serve you. And they seek to take my life." Elijah was in a valley. Was Elijah the only one? No, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. I've got another one in Corinthians, but I want to read this one first. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." And when we are in the valley of depression, we need to remember that if we want help, God is the God. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with comfort, with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And to stop there for a minute, sometimes when we're going through a valley, we might not understand, why does God have me here? Well, again, we aren't the only one that's going to go through that valley. God is going to comfort us if we are faithful and we go through that valley. When someone else comes along, we may be the one that helps that other person get through that valley. It may be for one of you that's sitting out there that someone else is going to be in your shoes. And if you hadn't gotten through that, you aren't going to be able to help this other person. That other person, they may lose their soul over the situation. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, and we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life." What's Paul saying in chapter 1, verse 9? "We despaired even of life." They were ready to give up living. They were burdened. They were suffering. How did they get through it? Through the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And just, you think about Christ for a minute. What did he say on the cross? my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm your son. Why are you turning your back on me?" And when Christ died and was resurrected, he was exalted to the right hand of God. And just as we are going to suffer, if we are faithful to God, we will share in that same resurrection and sit in heaven with God. But this valley is very real. Why? Different reasons. Sometimes it may be because of a result of wrong decisions. We may choose a lifestyle that causes different things in our life that just creates a lot of problems. It may be a lack of faith in God, a lack of trust in God. It could be different things, but this is a valley that we are going to go through at some time in our life, and we need to be prepared. We need to remember this is just a valley. We're just passing through. We aren't going to put down stakes and live here. We want to move on. Another valley that we're going to go through is fear. While we're in 2 Corinthians, let's turn over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, look at verse 6. "So we are always confident that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." The valley of fear. We need to be like Paul and say that we are always confident, whether we are in the flesh or whether we have departed. We should always have courage, knowing the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man. Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." This fearful thing, it's something that we should fear, to not be right with God. I'm looking back over the verse here. Knowing, verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." Friends, if you want to fear something, fear the terror of the Lord. And how many people do we know right now? They are living in the valley of fear. A lot of people have been living in the valley of the fear for the last year. They turn their TV on first thing in the morning. It's fear, 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 fear. They hear it all day long. They are afraid to do things. They've put their life on hold. And going back to the first valley, the valley of decision, how can we serve God when we put our life on hold? If we can do it 1 year, can we do it 10 years? Can we do it for our lifetime? Friends, we cannot live in the valley of fear. But fear is a common emotion. In Matthew 25:25, the one talent man, "And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, that at my coming I would receive back to my own with interest. Therefore, take from him and give it to him who has 10 talents." This man was in fear. Someone else that lived in the valley of fear was the governor Felix. In Acts 24, verse 24, "After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Friends, there is a fear that we should have about not obeying God, not doing His will. But there is a confidence that we should have. That confidence should overpower our fear. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us draw near with the confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." When we're in that valley of fear, don't start building a house and adding on rooms. Get out of that valley. Call on God. Draw near to the throne of grace. But again, some people just live in fear. Sometimes you see an animal that lives in fear. Have you ever seen a dog that you go over to the dog and you raise your hand or you put out your hand to rub it, and it takes its tail and sticks it between its legs, and it cowers down and puts its head down because somebody's beat it sometime, and it lives in fear. It lives in fear. You see, people react that way sometimes. Friends, God, He doesn't want us to be arrogant. He doesn't want us to be trembling. He wants us to live in confidence. Confidence in what He can do for us. Well, another valley that unless Christ returns first, we are all going to go through the valley of death. And this is, it has to do with several fears. But I think one of them is the fear of the unknown. But I also believe once we understand the Bible and what the Bible talks about death, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. We cannot get to eternity unless we die. Death is the vehicle that takes us, transports us into that other realm. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, a beautiful story if you're in the Lord, because the angels, plural, will escort us. Death can be beautiful, but the valley of death can be scary. It can be scary if we are outside of Christ. It can be scary maybe because we have some condition that we are going through day after day that it just troubles us. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Job said in Job 7, beginning in verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more while your eyes are upon me. I shall no longer be. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he goes down to the grave, does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore." You think about life and how short it is. No matter how long we live, it is just so short. Job says it's swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It's like a cloud that disappears and vanishes away. One of the descriptions in the Old Testament, it talks about our life being like water that is poured out on the ground. You have a jug of water, you pour it out, it's gone. Can you get it back? It's gone. Like Job says, so he goes down to the grave, does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. Why? Why do we fear death? You know, we need to ask ourselves that. Do we fear death? Again, it depends on perspective. It depends on perspective. And if we are the children of God, we should not fear it. But death is, the fear of death is very real, and I don't want to play that down. I know of people that have gone through terminal illnesses, and they are troubled every day. I know, I'm thinking of a person right now that has a very serious condition, and the last I talked to her, she hadn't even told her children. She lives in fear. She lives in fear. Friends, Ecclesiastes 8:8, no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. God created us. He gave us life. We're going to be here for a short time. And then, two, when you think about this valley of death, and again, with all of these valleys, you have different degrees, but some people put their life on hold. I don't want to do this or do that. You know, I might die doing that. We might die doing anything. When I had melanoma years ago, and before the surgeon operated on me, and he talked to me for about 5 or 10 minutes, just telling me about different people and cancer. And he said, you know, Bruce, he said, a lot of people, they'll find out they have cancer, they'll quit their job, they'll sell their house, they'll get a motor home, they'll travel, they'll do this, they'll do this, they'll do this. They go, they get their treatment, and they get better. And then they say, why did I do all of that? Why did I change my life? They were living in fear, and it was real. You can't deny that their fear was not real, but we have to accept we are going to die. But what's one of the things that can help us with these valleys when we are in them? We need to understand that the mountain towers over the valleys. Isaiah, if we turn back to Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Stop and think about what Isaiah is saying here. And what is a valley? It's a place between two mountains. What is the mountain? It's the opposite of the lowland. It's the highland. And Isaiah says, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. It was going to come out of Jerusalem. It'll come out of Jerusalem. Many people will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Friends, as we go through our life, are we looking at living in the valley? Are we looking at living in the lowland? Or are we looking at living on the mountain, God's house, his kingdom, his church? Are we looking at that? Again, our life is a matter of perspective. And we are here for such a short time. And the mountain gives us a different look. It gives us a different attitude. Gives us a different altitude. It gives us a different attitude. And when we were going to Virginia, and this picture we took when we were coming back in the morning, it was early in the morning, but either side of that mountain, you start and you climb, 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 and you think, are you going to get up there? And you finally get up there, and it is just so beautiful. It's beautiful sitting on top of the mountain. It's beautiful sitting in the kingdom of God. It's beautiful sitting in his church, having the perspective of looking out that all of these things are just valleys that Satan has put there to distract us from reaching the top of the mountain. Psalm 73:28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." Where did David draw near to God? I'll add this, on that mountain. It was on that mountain. The mountain, friend, towers over the valley of decision. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." When God tells us to do this, don't do that, we need to do what he says. And you think about Christ. "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." We need to learn what Christ did and make the right decisions. We need to learn that the mountain towers over the valley of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." The mountain towers over the valley of depression. We need to, you know, the terms we use just describe, like, we need to pull ourselves up and pick ourselves up. And the picture is we're down low and we need to lift ourselves up. The mountain will do that. The mountain towers over the valley of death. And we think about Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." When God is walking with us, we don't need to worry about death. And in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." See, we aren't all going to die, because Christ is going to come back and we're going to see Christ. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, you want to have the victory to get out of the valley? It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are going to go through these valleys at times. When we are in there, we need to make sure we got to keep on moving. I want to stop where I started with the valley of decision. The decision that we make to obey Christ is the most important decision there will ever be. If you're outside of Christ, you need to decide to become a Christian. If you've been baptized, but you've just been floating along, you need to decide to get in Christ and serve him with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and God will richly bless you. Friends, if there's anybody that needs to be obedient, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.